that we can do. We can practice to strengthen our spirits. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so, and I think going ahead, as we look at where this nation is going and how things are struggling in the turmoil, just pray for our nation. It is so ripped apart on so many different levels. And I think as a church, as Christians, that we need to have some backbone to be able to stand against the slot of what's going around us. And so in here, we have a list of spiritual exercises, if you will, spiritual disciplines. And we can do this. We talked about prayer last week. This week, we're going to talk about fasting. Yay! I was all excited over this, you know. And this is the church that we're, you know, before COVID, you know, we were doing potlucks every week. And so fasting is one of those things. Now, I grew up Baptist, and we didn't talk a lot about fasting. What are you trying to say, Mark? We didn't talk a lot about it. And so really growing up, it wasn't a practice, it wasn't anything we were familiar with. And I was really surprised. So we turn around, the scripture starts talking about these disciplines. Matthew, Jesus says this, and then Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When we talk about the idea of fasting, we're going to just kind of break this down a little bit, just kind of as a primer, really, because like I said, I did not have a lot of this in my background, and I don't know where you guys are from. And so this idea of denying yourself is really a foreign concept, especially in America. If you've ever traveled overseas at all, it's amazing of how much the rest of the world doesn't have. When we went down to Ecuador for a missions trip, they warned us that when you go out, take off your watch, put it in your pocket, don't bring out your phone. All these things that we just thought were normal things are things that a lot of them don't have. And I was amazed, really, because I'm like, oh, woe is me. I don't have much. My wife would disagree. But, I don't have much. And yet you go down and see people who truly don't have much. And so this idea of denying yourself is really a foreign concept to us as Americans. I want it right now. If you follow police blogs, nationwide, it's interesting because usually about once a month, someone calls up and calls 911 and, what's the emergency? I'm at McDonald's and they're out of nuggets. I'm like, what? And I don't know if you've noticed, if you go into any of the grocery stores at all, and I don't know if it's because of COVID and things are behind. I don't know because, barges get stuck in canals overseas. Or I don't know what. I think inflation is creeping in. But you go down to the stores and the selection isn't what it used to be. And it's like, oh. And I'm like, oh, man, they don't have my favorite bite. And then I realize, man, I'm spoiled. Right? And as Christians, we got to be careful of this. The Bible wants to call us to a disciplined life. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, he's talking to Israel here. It says, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and feed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make known to you that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Actually, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, this is the scripture. Jesus quoted to Satan. He says, look, Jesus, are you hungry? Jesus had fasted for 40 days. And in here, I love the King James. It says, afterwards he was hungry. After 40 days, yeah. And Satan tempted him and said, hey, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. And Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone. And we look at who we are, that we are body, soul, and spirit. Body, we all know, we're all familiar with. And most of us are pretty good at, I was going to say, taking care of it. I don't know. Someone asked me about, aren't you afraid of getting the COVID shot because of all the chemicals? I said, no, I grew up eating macaroni and cheese out of a box. There's probably more, right? I'm eating a Twinkie. Isn't it amazing how Twinkies, like, never get stale? Right? You know, during the millennial reign, they'll be walking around and say, what's this? Hey, it's a Twinkie. Hey, it's still good. Right? And so I got to be careful. I'm not taking care of myself. But I'll feed it when it's hungry. I'll take care of it. I'll tend to this needs. But man is more than just the physical. We're the emotional. And nothing wrong with emotion. God gave us it. I think emotions are a gift. Allows us to express joy and grief. The danger comes in when our emotions control us. And of course, we're spiritual. That we're designed to commune with God. And so we're really good at taking care of or tending the desires of the flesh. We are not so good at tending the other ones. And so I was talking about this idea of fasting. And just really quick, because like I said, I don't think I ever heard a sermon on fasting growing up. And so it's like, oh, well, here's a subject that we start talking about. Or, you know, talk about something that we normally don't talk about. So it must not be in the Bible much. And actually, I just really quick, I'm not going to go through every single one of these, but I went through just really quick, and I'm sure there's more cases, where people fasted in the Scriptures. And you know what? There's a lot. Moses fasted. David fasted. Elijah fasted. Ahab. Darius, who is a Gentile, fasted because he was concerned over David in the lion's den. Daniel fasted for several different reasons. Some of it was to protect from sin. Others was because he had a vision. He didn't understand it. God gave him clarity on that. David fasted because he was mourning because of sin. We see these things taking place. Esther fasted because she needed prayer from the people. Ezra fasted because what was going on in Israel when they were out of captivity, that what was going on, it broke his heart of what was going on with Israel. Nehemiah fasted as well. Nineveh, a Gentile nation, judgment was called on them, and they repented and they fasted unto the Lord. Anna fasted in the New Testament because her desire was for the Lord to come. She wanted to see the Messiah. Jesus fasted. The disciples of John the Baptist fasted. The elders at Antioch fasted as they were sending off Paul into the ministry. Cornelius, a Gentile, fasted because he wanted God. He wanted God to reveal himself to him. Paul fasted several times. These are just some of the things that throughout Scripture, I'm like, really, would you stop and think about it? There's a lot of fasting going on. And so it's like, why is this not a part of what we're used to hearing? And I don't know about you, I don't know the last time you heard a sermon on fasting. Like I said, it's really not a popular sermon. You know? But I think it's necessary. Now, I'm going to break this down. So some of this may seem pretty elementary to some of you, but I'm a simple man. And so I just got to understand it. Because I want to understand it. If the Scriptures talk so much about it, shouldn't I, as a Christian, a follower of the Word, want to know what it's about? And why is it so foreign? First thing I want to do is first of all, there's no commandment at all in the New Testament for us to fast. There is not a verse that says, thou shalt fast. Actually, Israel, they were only told to fast on one day. That was the Day of Atonement. And they were told to fast for that day, as that turnaround and that the Day of Atonement was when they brought the land to sacrifice for the sins of Israel. And they were to lament their sin and think about their sin and dwell on that. And so that's the only time Israel was actually told to fast. Now you fast forward and the rabbis added different feast days and added several different fast days. Actually, by the time the days of Christ came, it was very, very common for the Jew to fast twice a week as a religious ceremony to go through. We get into the New Testament, like I said, there isn't a command to fast, and yet we see it being a part of it here. So I don't want to take a position that Scripture does. I want to say, thou shalt have to fast. And there's reasons why people may fast, and there are reasons why people may not fast. But I want to make sure that you're doing it all for the right reason.
Does that make sense?
We see this idea of fasting, and fasting is really closely linked to prayer. At one point, the disciples were trying to cast out a demon, and Jesus came up, and then, he's saying, "What's going on, guys?" And the disciples were kind of like, "Oh, Jesus, we can't do it." And Jesus said, "This time can only come out by prayer and fasting." We see, once again, Esther, who turns around, and she's going to go before the king and plead for Israel. And she was scared to go into the king because if you went uninvited, you could get killed. And so she asked for people to please fast and pray. We see these two go hand in hand. We're going to get into that a little bit more as we get further into this. Also, we see fasting linked with weeping or sorrow, a broken heart. And we see this case where David, we're going to get into as well, but his son's dying. And his heart is broken. And so he fasts as he weeps. And we're going to get into that just a little bit here. But in here, the idea here is fasting is more than just a physical exercise. Fasting is really simple definition is the abstaining of food and water and or items. And there's no clear set fast, rule, what a fast is. Typically, when we think of a fast, we think of giving up food. Some people will do a fast, food and water. I think you can go 3 days without water, so they don't recommend go further than that. I know I've talked to people over the years, and they're like, "Well, I have medical conditions because of this, I can't fast," right? And so what some people will give up an item. We see the Catholics with Lent, who turn up during the 40 days leading up to Easter, will turn around and give up meat or give up something they want. And the Bible says that sometimes what we can do is there's things that are important to us. I had a Catholic friend of mine, every Lent season, turned around and said, "I am giving up Diet Dr. Pepper." That was his giving up. And I said, "Oh, I didn't know you even drank diet." He goes, "I don't. That makes it so easy." Right? I mean, like me saying, "You know what? I'm giving up basketball." Right? Oh, that's not a sacrifice. That's not difficult. But to give up something that you like and something that you enjoy for a spiritual reason can have that same substance of a fast. It can be given up. At one point, Daniel gave up just veggies. Right? So a fast isn't a hard and fast set of rules. All right? Typically, when we talk about fast, we're talking about giving up of food, sometimes food and water, for a period of time. All right? Fasting is about denying the flesh. And I'll tell you, this is something that we're, especially as Americans, are not good at. We're not disciplined in telling the flesh no. I'm hungry, I eat. Right? I arrange my whole day around what I'm going to eat. Right? I can open up the cupboards and things will be falling out of the cupboards. I have so much food in there. And yeah, I'm like, "Oh, there's nothing here." Right? We have so much in abundance that we don't know what it's like to say no to the flesh. And the danger of that is because there's things that are tempting to the flesh that we need to say no to. And it breaks my heart because as a society, basically we're told that if you want something, you deserve it. That's what we're told. If you have a desire for sin that justifies the consumption of it. Right? And that's not what the Bible talks about. Actually, the Bible talks about a war within us, the flesh against the spirit. And if we're not careful of saying no to the flesh, then it will consume us. So fasting is a denying of the flesh. But it's not just that, but it also has to do with focusing on the spiritual. And that's really what makes biblical fasting different from medical, dietary type of fasting. As we go through this and we look at this, that if you want a spiritual aspect to it, then you need to focus on the spiritual. The idea is deny the physical while at the same time focusing on the spiritual. And I think that's something we don't really do a whole lot either. Most of us don't think about our spiritual well-being. or we don't think of the spiritual warfare that's going around us. And as Christians, we're really called to be made aware of the spiritual conflict that's all around us. We are in a spiritual war. What is going on today in this nation? We can say, oh, it's Washington, or it's Augusta, or it's this group, or it's that group. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Right? That there are spiritual forces at play who are pulling the strings behind all of this. And so as Christians, we need to be aware of what's going on spiritually around us and have that spiritual reaction in the midst of all this. All right? The benefits of fasting. Okay, Pastor, you know, once again, I said it's not a command to, but we see it all throughout Scripture. So what are some of the benefits of this? And just real quick, one, it's proactive. One of the things that I find in our lives that there's so much I don't have control over. Have you found that in your life? My mama, now I got to be careful, she watches this, but she lied to me growing up. Because she told me, she goes, when you grow up, you can do whatever you want. But until then, you got to do what I say. So I was like, oh, I can't wait till I'm old enough, you know, and I can do whatever I want. You know what? I'm an adult. I can't do whatever I want. Right? I was like, wait a minute, what happened? Now, my mom did tell me when I had my own place, I could jump on my own couch. And so when I went down to college, I had my own apartment, and I did. I jumped on my own couch, and it wasn't nearly as much fun. But right? I mean, but in here, I have laws and rules that tell me what to do. I have bosses that tell me what to do. I have a wife I'm not going to go into. We have all these things in our lives that tell us and regulate us around. And what happens, I think, sometimes, especially as Christians, I don't know what to do. Maybe our life is on hold and like, Lord, I don't know what to do. And what fasting allows us to do is actually do something. To pray and fast. Maybe my heart is aching, and maybe I'm grieving, and there's nothing I can do. You know what? I can fast and pray. I can do something. And sometimes that very act of being able to do something is so therapeutic in our lives. Isn't it? You know, I can't control everything, but I can control some things. Fasting as well sharpens our focus. Right? The idea is that during a period of time, whether it be just one day, or maybe it's just one meal, maybe it's just, you know, extended, whatever that period of time is, what that does is say, you know what, I'm purposely focusing on spiritual things right now. And I know some of you maybe have a regular prayer life. Maybe you have a regular time every day where you say, you know, this is my time with God. I dare say, and I've been in this ministry thing for a long time, most people don't have that. Now, I have lunch, you know, right? I have breakfast at a certain time. I have lunch at a certain time. I have supper at a certain time. I have certain times when I stop my world because I need to feed myself physically. But if I take that and replace it with spiritually, then all of a sudden now I'm in a routine. Now I'm focusing. You know what? Oh, okay, what am I going to do now? You know? Okay, it's noon time. Normally I eat. I'm not eating now. Oh, I'm going to focus on spiritual things. And all of a sudden, setting that time aside does is draw us in to think about spiritual things. You know what? Last week I asked for prayer and asked you to pray for one another. I hope you did that. And found the time to pray for that. And when that person came to your mind, you prayed for them. Because that person was waiting and depending on you for that. And instead of being random in it, of saying, turn around and say, okay, for fasting, at this point, what I can do is I can take my meal time and set that aside for prayer. I can set that time for my time with God. Also what it does is kind of brings us to breakthroughs. We see this throughout scriptures. Decisions need to be made. Right? They're talking about in Acts, and they had to make elders. And so they prayed and fast until God showed them the answer. We see Daniel turns around Let me see. Oh, I do have a verse for this. Ah. It says, now in the church that there was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on him, they sent him away. So while they're in the process of this, God revealed, I want Saul and Barnabas to go for me. While they were praying and fasting, God opened up. God showed them something. And maybe in our lives, we see Daniel following the same thing. He had a vision from God. He didn't understand. God, what are you trying to say? And he prayed and fasted, the Bible says. And through that, God revealed it to him. And maybe you're in a place spiritually where, you know what? You need that jump start. Maybe you're in that place where you need an answer. Maybe you brought yourself, and by praying and fasting will bring you into that place spiritually where you can hear God. And God will bring breakthroughs in that as you focus upon him. It's so easy because, you know, you turn around and we're so used to, you know, God, I asked. And I think God wants to know sometimes how bad we really want this. How bad do we really want this? Jesus uses an illustration. He said that a neighbor had company come in the middle of the night and he didn't have bread. So he went over to his neighbor and said, hey, neighbor, I need bread. And he looked down and said, go to bed. It's late. And his neighbor wouldn't go away. Give me bread. Give me bread. Give me bread. Go home. Give me bread. Fine, here's some bread. And Jesus said, you know, because of his persistence, he had bread. And I think God wants from us sometimes, it's so easy, we're so flippant of asking for things. You know how it is if you got kids, right? Dad, 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 dad. And moms, mom, 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 right? My mom would say, I'm changing my name. We're like, what are you changing it to? I'm not telling you. No, wait! Right? And sometimes it's so flippant. Do you really want something? Right? And I remember we moved up north in our first year going potato picking. And the rule in our house was we had to buy our school clothes with the money we made potato picking. And anything after that, we could spend on ourselves. So it was an incentive for us to work really hard so we'd have extra money. And I had wanted a bike, and I was like, Mom, I need a bike, I need a bike. And my mom kept saying, well, if you really want a bike, use your own money. Well, no, I want you to buy me a bike. And, you know, growing up, we had bikes, usually hand-me-downs, and we had them all over the yard, right? I mean, we were tough and rough boys. Half the time, we didn't even stop the bike. We just jumped off them, and they'd tumble down, right? Because I had nothing invested. But I'll tell you, that first winter, I bought a Huffy 10-speed bicycle. Ooh, she was a beauty. She was orange. And she was pretty. And, man, I parked it. I used the kickstand. And I parked it on the far side of the yard because I didn't want anyone to scratch it or even look at it. My brother looked at it too long. I'm like, don't look at it! Because it was precious to me. Why? Because I had something invested. And I think sometimes as we come to God in prayer, you know, God, just give me this. We don't appreciate, and God wants us sometimes to wrestle in prayer. Do we really want it? Are we willing to pray for something? Not just once, but maybe continually, not letting go of it, because God, I need it. Fasting is not. First of all, fasting is not dieting. Right? Now, people do fast for health issues. All right? You know, right now the big trend is this intermittent fasting where you only eat certain hours of the day and all that and skipping days. And I mean, I'm not going to get to, some people will talk about the health benefits of that. That's not what I'm talking about with this. All right, that's a whole different subject. I'll let you work that out. But the whole idea there is not to get fit and trim and get in shape physically. Actually, all of this is just the opposite. The purpose of biblical fasting is to turn away from the physical to the spiritual and not focus on. Romans tells us this, for the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? This is back what we talked about before, that in this, I'm not spiritual because I fast. Right? And some of you have easier times than others. I talked to one person that they would go probably about 20 days to do a 20-day fast. It was a piece of cake for them. You know? And I might struggle with a 20-minute. But it's not a contest physically. And actually, I believe that some of you, that 20 minutes of sacrifice is more meaningful spiritually than someone who can easily fast physically. So we're not talking about dietary things here. It's not a gauge of your holiness. Right? Because there's people who say, oh, look at me, I can fast. And actually, the Bible warns us. It says, moreover, when you fast. I always like this because when Jesus talked about fasting, he didn't say, if you fast. He was always kind of when you fast, when it happens. So we don't have a direct command, but there's an understanding that God's people will incorporate this into their Christian life. It says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, so that your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret, will reward you openly. The Pharisees were really famous for, oh no, I'm fasting, and put ashes on their face, they wouldn't wash their hair, they wear grungy clothes, and woe is me, look at me, I'm suffering for the Lord so much. Right? I've known Christians that are that way. I'm just suffering for Jesus, oh man. And you look at that, oh wow, what a spiritual giant that person is. And Jesus says, you know what? Not at all. Uh-oh. I can tell you what to do, Mark. Bring your mouse over on your right-hand side and click OK, and then click the other thing. We got some power bumps going on this morning. But anyways, this kind of only comes up by prayer and fasting. All right. And that means I have to do this. But you got to be careful, because it's so easy to tie in and say, look how spiritual I am because I'm doing these things. And that defeats the whole purpose. And Jesus told his disciples, look, when you do this, turn around and do it in such a way that no one knows it. No one knows it. So when you fast, people should not know. That's not doing it. People shouldn't know you're doing it. Simple as that. And what God says here is he will turn around and he'll reveal it to you in secret. Because the whole purpose is this, for you to be spiritually strong and not what everyone else is doing. Also, fasting is not forcing God. You're not forcing God's hand. And we see this oftentimes, that people will turn around and figure out, you know, if I say a prayer a certain way, then God has to do it. Or I'll impress God, and this isn't a matter of impressing God at all. Actually, the scripture tells us, it says, why have we fasted, they say, and have not seen, Isaiah 58. In here, Israel was saying, God, what's your problem? We're fasting. We're doing all these things. How come you're not impressed, God? And God says, you know what? I see your heart. I see your heart. And it's far from me. And so if you're looking at this and trying to gauge this as in such a way that, hey, God, you're so impressed. God's not impressed. And so we're not trying to force God's hand in anything. So we got to be careful of that. We don't see it as manipulating God at all. Mark, grab the remote and push HDMI 2 on the remote control, if you don't mind. We'll switch gears here. And when we start talking about fasting, and I break this into three different categories. And so I don't know. This is me, so this isn't some big theological difference here. Okay. There we go. And so the question comes in is when should I fast? All right, we talk about what it is and what it's not. So how do I know when to fast and when not to fast? The first category I break this into, I call it a natural fast. And so maybe some of you have fasted already and didn't even realize it, or you didn't call it that. A natural fast is when your heart is breaking and you just don't want to eat, right? Have you ever grieved? And people are like, hey, eat something. And you're like, I can't. My heart is so heavy right now, right? Have you ever been so anxious over something? And you're like, you know what? I don't want to eat. And so I think this is a great opportunity for you to turn around and say, okay, remember we talked about fasting being sort of proactive? Right? Instead of being anxious and doing nothing, instead of grieving and weeping and doing nothing, what you can do is turn around and use this as an opportunity for God to speak to you. We have two cases here with David. First one, David turns around and says, therefore David took hold of his own clothes and tore them, and so did all the men who were with him, and they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. That David, you know, David and Saul did not have a great relationship. Actually, Saul tried to kill David often. But he was still the king of Israel. And Saul and Jonathan had died. And David's reaction was to mourn. And it said, from the time he heard until evening, did not eat, but in here mourned and poured his heart out to God. That's a natural fast. The second time we see with David here, he turns around, and because of his sin with Bathsheba, God said the child was going to die. And 2 Samuel chapter 12 puts it this way. It says, David therefore pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and laid all night on the ground. So the elders of the house arose and went to him and to raise him up from the ground. But he would not, nor did he eat food with them. And we see David was praying. His heart was broken over his son who was sick, who was going to probably pass away. And all that night, he didn't eat. He didn't take time for that. He just continually poured himself out to God. And even though those coming alongside us said, hey, eat something, pick yourself up, David said, no, I can't go anywhere. My heart is so heavy. And maybe you've been in that place, or maybe you feel that way. The Bible says, you know what? Maybe this is an opportunity for you to stop. And while you have this natural desire not to eat, focus that towards spiritual things. And I think this is really underrated, because oftentimes what happens is we turn around and say, I feel like I can't do anything in these circumstances. Right? And I think part of that process is that physical, our spiritual and emotional are so powerful at that point that we can neglect the physical. That we can take that as a time to pour our heart out to God and see what God will do with it. Second time of fast we see are called a called fast. And these are ones that are kind of scheduled, where the natural one is something's going on and you're still hungry, right? You just naturally don't, so use that. A called fast is different. A called fast is when the pastor or elder or maybe someone comes alongside and says, you know what, I have a situation going on. Will you pray for me? And will you fast? This is an important issue. Will you fast with me? So this has sort of a corporate avenue to it. And the one I always think of this is Esther. I alluded to this earlier. That in here we have Haman had passed the law that all the Jews would be killed. And Mordecai told Esther, you got to go talk to the king. And the rule was, if you went to the king without being invited, you had a 50-50 chance of the king saying, you're dead. So Esther was like, I don't know about this. And so that brings us to Esther chapter 4. It says, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days or nights. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so will I go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. And what she says is, all right, I always kind of picture this sort of Mission Impossible moment, right? All right, I'm going in. Will you cover me? And folks, let me tell you something. Prayer is a powerful weapon. You know, it broke my heart a couple of years ago. People would say, you know, when something happened, there's a tragedy, and, you know, I'm sending my thoughts and prayers, and the reply came back was, thoughts and prayers don't do anything. Hogwash. That in here, I could be halfway around the country praying for someone, sending spiritual cover for someone, to stand in the gap for someone, and you can do that for me. We are sustained by the prayers of the saints and for one another to encourage each other. And so if you're coming through and something's going on, it's, you got a decision that's coming up, you got something big, something monumental, where you know what? I need a prayer with a little bit of a kick to it. Will you pray and fast? And a few times in my ministries, as pastor, I've asked the congregation, remember, was it 3 years ago now, for Easter we sent out the cards. And we sent those out. And I asked you to pray and fast that Saturday prior to. And I don't know how many of you guys did. I appreciate those that were involved in that. But corporately, as we gather together in prayer, even though we're apart, in here our hearts are focused to deny the flesh, to encourage the spirit. Nineveh, then here, as God used Jonah to preach judgment to them, the king got up. Here's a Gentile king saying, look, let's pray and fast for repentance. Boys, I think if any nation now needs to repent, is ours. Imagine the power that would happen if God's people would pray and fast. Because our hearts are breaking over what's going on. And the last time, sort of last clarification I look at, is that struggle for clarity. You know, maybe in your life that you got a decision you got to make, and maybe it's a big one. And you turn around and say, you know what? Between now and that decision, I'm going to pray and fast. And remember, there's no real big rule, so you don't have to go, you know, maybe it's a week, you don't have to go the whole week. Maybe you'll give up dinner, or maybe you'll give up something. But say, you know, I'm going to focus on God, and God, I'm going to use this to really fine-tune. In here, God, I need a spiritual breakthrough in my life. Daniel, it says, in those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. He goes, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel had received a vision from God and he did not understand it, and it scared him. And his cry was, God, help me understand this. God, I want to hear from you. And because of that, he fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. And in here, focus upon God and says, God, I need a breakthrough in my life. I need you to speak to me very clearly in a certain way, Lord. I need to hear from you. Have you ever wrestled with God that way? God, I need you. prayer and fasting. The early church, as they had appointed the elders, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. Lord, give us the leaders we need. That's a big decision. Pray and fast. Right? You know, oftentimes we ask for prayer here and people say, look, I have an unspoken in my life. And it's something that you want prayer for. It's important enough you need prayer for. Let me ask you, have you challenged you to set some time aside to pray and fast? And maybe that's the breakthrough God will speak to you with. Cornelius was a Gentile who was looking for God. I love this because here is someone who's not a Christian, but desperately wanted God. And since Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And in here, here's someone who's desperately seeking God. I'm God's own child. Says, God, I want you. And through that prayer and fasting, God sent an angel who later on sent an apostle to lead Cornelius to the Lord. Wow. The breakthrough, to shake things up. Real quick, just some final thoughts. Can you say, well, you know what, Pastor? I guess the Bible does talk about fasting. Good, you've been listening. And then maybe you're like me. I didn't hear a whole lot about preaching. I know in my 25 years of preaching, I've probably twice preached a message like this before. But the Bible talks about it's so much that I believe it's something that God wants us to have in our toolbox. This help us, and especially as we see that day approaching, where as a church, we're going to have to be strong. Stand on the truth. First one is start small. Don't start out and say, okay, I'm doing a 40-day fast. Actually, the Bible talks about Jesus, and it talks about Moses up on the mountain. I think it's a supernatural act. But start small. Because we're not used to saying no to the flesh. Right? And so if you've never fasted before, it can be a real shock to your system. People get woozy and people get all types of, right? Start small. And maybe you say, you know what, Lord, maybe I'll just give up one meal and I'll just focus on you for that one meal. And maybe because of dietary and other issues, you can't do that. Then find something else that you can say, Lord, I'm giving up. Here's a period of time. Maybe I'm going to skip Jeopardy for a week. You know, Alex Trebek anyways. Right? Or maybe I'll give up my whatever soap opera you watch. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Mark. I don't know. But, right? But maybe that's the one show. Or maybe it's something that's important to you. Say, you know what? At this point in time, I'm going to set it aside for you, God. Something that is a sacrifice. But start small. And you'll find as we deny the flesh more, that it becomes easier to do that. But it can be very hard at first. Set boundaries. Right? Say, you know what? Here's a period of time in which I'm going to do it. You set it for a week, or maybe set it for... actually, we see David with Saul. He just gave up that day. But set up a boundary, I'm going to go until, you know, I'm going to do it one day. Next Thursday, I'm going to pray and fast. All right, plan it. So you have a start, you have a finish, and that will help you to be successful in that. If you kind of just do open-ended, then you're just kind of setting yourself for failure. Maybe you have an important decision to be made. Maybe next month something has to be done. Okay, Lord, between now and then, this is what I'm going to do. Or as I get forward to that day, maybe the day before I'll do this. But it helps to set up that boundaries. All right? Now, the last point here is avoid discouragements. Because what happens, you know, I set it up, I've done this in my own life, I'm going to do an extended fast, I'm going to do this, and you don't accomplish it. Right? You come home and the wife is making that loaf of bread. And you give in.
and you say, I failed. Now remember, this is just between you and God. You're not trying to impress anyone else. And for me, anytime I fail with the Lord, it always helps me to remind me that God knew I was going to fail, and he loves me anyways. Before I even started, you know, God, I'm going to fast for a week. The Holy Spirit's like, ain't going to happen. But in that experience, Lord, you know what? It does a couple things. One, it shows me my weakness. It shows me my limits. And then what it should do at the end of the day, force me to be more dependent upon God. Because the whole point of this is not to do it in the flesh. Right? And that's where we get into, you know, being hypocrites and all this, because it's easy to say, oh, look at me. Ooh, I'm spiritual because I... That's not the point of this at all. The point of this is, Lord, I need you. And if through the process, if you try it and you don't accomplish what you wanted to, then that just shows you that you need God. And that's not a bad thing either. That in my weakness, he's made strong. So even though we had a glitch halfway through, I think this is a good message. Talking about fasting. And it's just one tool in our toolbox that we're going through the list here of things that we can do to really kind of strengthen our spirits and follow him. So next week we're going to talk about studying. Woohoo! You guys are going to enjoy this. All right. Let me go ahead and pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and Lord, I pray for our spirits, Lord, strengthen us. Lord, we are so driven by the flesh. We're so driven by emotion. But Lord, we're often not led by the Spirit. And Lord, I pray someone here will ponder fasting, Lord, as a way to get closer to you. Lord, I pray you bring clarity and peace in people's lives as we follow you. Lord, prepare us. Lord, I believe the day is coming, Lord. We will have to be strong in you. And Lord, I pray for these disciplines, these exercises, Lord, that will help us be prepared for that day. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.